Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. So we're talking today about innovation, the things going on around town that are new and exciting. Vincent Hunt will talk with us about Creators Camp. I've got Alyssa Rudlow talking about MMA, mixed martial arts events. And Nathan Archer talking about Word of South. It's all going on with Miriam Dady and another guest in our business spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
I take care of the whole person interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right, right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is on the air and on the queue. We are with you in spirit as well as in voice as we are talking today about all things innovative, or many things innovative. The notion that Tallahassee is certainly not what it was and is about to become even more of what it is to be in the days, months, weeks ahead. We are finding ourselves in the middle of what is remarkably and I think appropriately referred to as a period of shuffling, that's not even fair, a period of rediscovery and advancement on many levels, economically, culturally, educationally. We've seen the breakup of the Economic Development Council and a reformation of the creation of a new organization with some of the same intention and perhaps even new ideas there, new focus, new purpose, that is really a more cooperative effort among city and county representatives, coming back to the people, right? So many times people over the years have said to me, gosh, Tallahassee seems to be mired in this kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, some have called it a good old boys network, or, you know, colleague of mine said, you know, that having traveled the world, having been involved in international business and having brought several companies public, the guy was well accomplished. And he said, it's remarkable. Tallahassee is a place where resources, creative energy, innovative ideas, power, they're all sort of siloed separately from one another. Okay, so in other words, the people who have the opportunity to advance an idea don't. And the people who have the ideas for advancement can't seem to get their hands around opportunities. They can't seem to penetrate and find opportunity to advance those ideas in practical ways. That's breaking up, it seems to me. And we're seeing it happen by design, and some of it, I think, by default, and because you can't continue to hold on to something old when it just doesn't work anymore. One of the most contributive aspects to that is the increase in our population, and not just the sheer number of people, but where these people are coming from. So it's not that our birth rate is so remarkably high, but the in-migration, people coming to us from larger metropolitan areas, from around the world, frankly, who bring to us a greater diversity of thought and experience and need, both culturally, intellectually, economically. I mean, you get all of this mix going on, and after a while, people say, well, how come we don't do it this way? And somebody else says, you know, I have a way to do that. And now they have an audience. They have people who are willing to listen. Oftentimes, I think people who have those resources, if they have money, if they have position, if they're the ones deciding or the ones who decide who gets to decide, maybe they're not as motivated. Maybe they're a little settled. Maybe they're a little satisfied with the way things have been. And someone comes along and says, you know, I have needs here that are not being met. And then you have another group of people saying, well, we have ways to meet that need, but we need those resources available to us. And so there comes the natural, if you want to call it, or organic pressure. Again, that's somewhat by design. I think some people have set out, like the folks who were involved in Blueprint 2000, they've worked very hard to try to make all of that come forward that was part of that initiative many, many years ago. Cascades Park, we'll talk about Word of South happening here in April, is probably the most dramatic example of that initiative. And that thinking, and the people who got involved trying to accelerate the creation of that as an opportunity for Tallahassee. And there it is. Many decried it as an idea, said, it's not worth the investment, it's who cares? But the results are remarkable. And when you have an opportunity like Word of South coming that celebrates not just art in general, not just literature, but really how it's connected to our community. And so it involves the presentation of local artists, authors, performers just as well as those who are brought to us from the national stage. It's a great blend, and Mark Mustian and all the folks with Word of South deserve a great deal of credit for that, and our thanks and our applause. It is indeed a family event that will attract a lot of folks, not only, of course, locally, but around the region and around the country. It becomes another way of helping define for others, as well as ourselves, our place. What is Tallahassee's place? What is it that we offer that is unique and is unduplicated, that really reflects our own character, right? Our own sound, our own style and such. Well, this is a good thing, because as that develops, as it begins to open up and blossom, it encourages more innovation, more creativity, more growth, both in terms of the economics of that, but even growth in terms of our awareness of one another and this diversity that I refer to. It becomes less foreign, less threatening, perhaps, for some, and more curious, and actually more exciting, because you get to meet people who aren't just like you. God knows, I've had enough of me. I know me pretty well. I'd like to know somebody else who isn't like me and brings to the table something fresh. And we've got that with Nathan Archer talking about Word of South. Today we're going to talk again with Vincent Hunt. He's been with us before, talking about his Creators Camp. What a marvelous idea that is, that its root, at the core of that is this, I would call it revolutionary approach to how we motivate people to learn, especially kids. How do we get them tied in to opportunities that explore and celebrate their natural inclination? What are they bent to do? What are they leaning toward? How can we encourage that? How can we give them opportunity that helps them explode all of that initiative and talent? It's a pretty remarkable thing. So we'll learn about that in the second hour with Vincent. And I've got Alyssa. Alyssa is with Train Fight Win, and we're talking about MMA, mixed martial arts, that in fact is another innovative, if you want to say that. It's certainly a newer arrival for local events, local activities. I like this particular conversation with Alyssa Rudlow because Alyssa brings to us this curious confrontation, I'll call it, a sort of pushback that came by way of people saying, well, now this is not an event that would be appropriate for outdoor public display, right? So it was originally scheduled to go at Cascades Park. And then there was some concern that this was not appropriate for the neighborhood. She'll tell us about the story, But again, to me, it underscores how much we are changing as a community in relatively short period of time. And I will tell you that with that arrival of change, yeah, there's a lot of dust up in that, as would be expected in any case, anywhere. But with that, I think you find a fresh bevy of opportunity for so many people. I was at a ribbon cutting earlier this week, a new little pizza place opening up over there on College Avenue. Wow. I mean, folks, we've got Miriam Dady standing by. I appreciate the opportunity to celebrate what she brings to us, this Tallahassee Business Spotlight, with her special guest this morning. So stay with me for more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Trucking Hard Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Detail and diamond plate, parts to fix your tailgate. Trucking Hard Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Hard Concepts, with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kit for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must, come on out and visit us. Trucking Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Trucking Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by pushtheenvelope.biz.
I'm Miriam Dady. Welcome to Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a guest here with me today, Phil Carpenter. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Miriam, for having me. I appreciate it.
Phil is with Morningstar Merchant Solutions, and we were talking just a few minutes ago about credit cards and how pervasive credit cards are in our life. I know that I carry cash a little bit with me at all times, probably because my mom taught me to do that. But I rarely use my cash anymore, Phil. It's mm-hmm. all credit cards for me. I guess you see that more and more in all the merchants you use. Do they handle a lot of cash, or is it credit cards across the board?
You know, Miriam, I went into a coffee shop today, as a matter of fact, and just ordered a glass of cold coffee, and I paid in cash. And the barrister at the counter said, "Oh, we don't hardly ever see cash anymore."
And you, of all people, paying with cash.
That's right. I'm a credit card merchant, and I paid with cash.
It really has become the most convenient way to transfer credits from one to another. I do still use my checkbook. I'm one of those rare people that, you know, when the Sunday morning plate is being passed, I put a check in it. But golly, a lot of people are just doing either automatic transfers, credit card transfers, the PayPal transfers, some other wire form, aren't they?
Absolutely. In fact, I've heard of churches that have actually passed a credit card machine across the aisle, and you can swipe your card to do giving.
Well, let's talk a little bit about credit cards and the businessman. And I want to talk specifically about small businesses, anywhere from as small as an artisan who has a card table in the chain of parks and they're selling their crafts, to a one-man shop that might be painting or fixing mailboxes. What are the things that those small business owners should watch for when they have the ability to take credit cards?
Well, one of the things that they want to look for they want to look at the value that they're getting with regard to their credit card merchant provider. Things such as what we had talked about earlier with regard to Square. Square is a very popular product. And
yeah, any of those little things that just fit into your iPhone or your Android and make it a credit card machine, right?
Exactly. The trouble as far as with Square, as far as for the small merchant, is that they're getting charged a rather high rate. If they can do some comparison with some local providers, they will be able to get a much lower rate. And depending upon their volume, they could save some significant money by going with a local provider and have the exact same flexibility and ease of use in terms of they would have another machine as far as to plug into their iPhone or their Android and do the exact same thing, and they're getting more money back as opposed to being ending up in Square's pockets.
So it really comes down to how much they're paying per transaction?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So they're allowing the customer the ease of use, but they're spending a lot more for that than they would if they went with a local provider like you.
That's correct.
That makes a big difference, even on a small scale.
It could make a very big difference. I talked with a gentleman a while back, and he was actually being charged 5% of his total transaction. That is a huge amount to be charged for using their credit cards.
Wow.
And so it was like, wow, as far as they're paying more than double what they need to be paying from a credit card charge point.
Now, what about those small business owners who have been credit card savvy for years, doing their own thing? They've kind of just gotten into the sleepy habit of letting it be used. You mentioned to me that they should be looking at their statements. Now, statements are something I hate to look at, but why should they look at them?
Well, a couple of reasons, Miriam, as far as, for most people, you look at your statement, and it's like, you look at it for about 10 seconds, and you get confused, and it's like, whoa.
That would be me.
What's the total? Does that look reasonable? Oh, okay, fine. And that's it.
Right.
And you don't worry about it. The thing with your statements, if you don't look at it particularly, there could be charges on there that shouldn't be on there. And what I mean by that is, or that could be, you could get rid of, if you're not PCI compliant, which is the new regulation that came out for the credit card industry back in October, you're going to get hit with penalties and charges that you don't need to be paying if you were PCI compliant.
Okay, so as of October of 2015, mm-hmm. new regulations went into effect.
Correct.
And if I just ignored all that, I'm getting fined every month.
Potentially, you could be getting fined every month.
I see.
Yes.
It's not like anybody would call me. It would just be on my statement.
It would be on your statement.
And I'd just be paying it if I don't read my statement.
Exactly.
That would be murderous. That would be terrible.
Well, and the thing is, you probably wouldn't even notice it until it's like, well, why have my credit card charges gone up?
Right.
And when you start investigating it, it's like, oh, what's this? And where you really have to be proactive, like anything in business, there's so many demands on a small business person's time.
Exactly.
And oftentimes with the credit card, looking at your credit card statement is way down at the bottom of the list.
Right.
Type of thing. But depending upon how much business you do from a credit card standpoint, it could have a significant impact.
Now, would you be willing to help somebody out doing that? Could you show somebody where to find that on their credit card statement?
Oh, certainly. I could go through that, line by line with them to kind of point out there are certain types of fees that are kind of what we call four-letter words of credit card processing.
Right.
It's like if you see that, it's like, whoa, that's a big red flag.
How do people get in touch with you?
If they go to our website, they'll be able to get in touch with us.
Tell me that.
My website is morningstarmerchant.com.
Morningstarmerchant.com.
Correct.
And they just click on contact us or something like that, and and they can find you. And if they suspect that they might not be in compliance, you could show them how to find out where that fee is and how to make it go away.
Correct.
Excellent. Correct. Excellent. Phil, thanks for being here this week. Oh. I appreciate you. I know a lot of business people, it's hard to keep money in your pocket. It just leaks out of a business.
That's
and if
for
you
sure.
can if you can keep more of it in your pocket, profits go up, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Miriam. I greatly appreciate you inviting me here.
And thank everybody out there for being here with us for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm Miriam Dady.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Welcome back. Thank you for being part of this very here fine radio show. We have for ourselves a lot to be thankful for, in as much as there seems to be a never-ending supply of very cool stories, cool people doing cool things that are changing how, in fact, this town is shaped and how we think of ourselves and how we spend our time. You know, that's my mantra. It's an ongoing theme around here. We're constantly talking about new stuff. And some of it is not so new, but it's new perhaps to you and I. A good example of that I would refer to as mixed martial arts in general, which in my reading of this column that came by way of the Tallahassee Democrat last August, MMA, as it's referred to, is a young sport. And like many new things, some people find it threatening. Even though MMA has rules, regulations, and drug testing guidelines, just like the other sports, it faces a harsher prejudice. The writer goes on to talk about safety and training and how, in fact, those who participate in this sport, whether professional or amateur, spend a good deal of time preparing for such bouts. Now, if you're unfamiliar with it, we're going to enlist the cooperation of this young lady who is here to talk with us about MMA, and particularly her involvement and her partnership with the man who wrote that article, Sky Rudlow. He wrote an article, a column, back in August of last year, and it was in response to a very interesting sort of series of events, some decisions that were made about an event that was scheduled to take place at Cascades Park. And this was called Combat Night 50. So it happens that Sky has this able partner that I'm referring to, Alyssa Rudlow, his wife, his business partner, a fellow trainer, participant in the sport, trainee, I guess, and trainer, mm-hmm. and a co-owner of this business that they started together, Train, Fight, Win, Tallahassee. So let's welcome Alyssa to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You know, we have in this town a number of sports like, and is that the right way to refer to this, mixed martial arts?
Yes.
Some people just call it kickboxing, but is that different?
No, it's a completely different sport.
That's a different
sport. Martial arts encompasses kind of everything.
Ah,
yeah.
So we have to be careful we don't blur the lines any mm-hmm. further. So we'll say MMA. We're going to get into finding out from Alyssa what MMA is all about, for those of us who are a bit ignorant there. I'll certainly put myself in that category. But I want to get into talking about how this whole thing transpired, because it for me, is a curious example, I think, of this business that we find ourselves in when new ideas are brought to bear. But I want to find out from you your experience. Let's talk first about the business. Okay, mm-hmm. So Train, Fight, Win. This is a training facility, as it goes. This is the thrust of what you. How did that all come about?
Well, I was a fitness instructor, and my husband had been training at other MMA gyms. Tallahassee has kind of a long history of MMA gyms that kind of didn't continue
some
to were, exist.
Some didn't, some did.
Yeah. So my husband, Sky, was a trainer at a few of the last ones. And when the last one was going out of business, I was currently a fitness trainer, and I also trained in mixed martial arts at that gym as well, that we just decided, you know what, we're just going to start our own business. And my fitness business was called Train, Fight, Win. So we kind of, because we kind of focused on training athletes for competition, and mainly MMA athletes.
So this is more than just getting on a, let's say, a treadmill or a cycle.
Yes, we only have one treadmill in our facility. So we have the whole facility is pretty much covered in mats.
You probably wouldn't want me to be part of that at this point.
Could. Yeah. All ages. Mm. I think people think that at our facility we're going to punch them in the face as soon as they walk in the door, but that's definitely not the case. We're about education.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
So that comes in the second visit.
In the second visit, yeah.
So, but the fact is, the level, it sounds like the level of intensity here is ratcheted up. I mean, again, this isn't just hanging out at the local fitness center that I might be used to, or on the corner, you know, and maybe doing, you know, a couple of miles a week on the treadmill. This is a very focused kind of training. You're talking about people who compete. Mm-hmm. In whether amateur or professional sport, right?
Well, I'd say about 90% of our clients don't ever compete, and they just train, and they just come to learn technique.
For the sake of their own health.
Mm-hmm. For health purposes, we have fitness program, and they don't even punch things. But we have boxing classes and stuff where they just come to learn. But then we do have a competition aspect as well.
Okay. So that reminds me of something that your husband said in this article. And again, this is from the Tallahassee Democrat back in August of last year. In fact, I can tell you it was August the 19th for those who want to do some fact-checking on me. I'm reading from this, and it said, some call us thugs or street brawlers, but every single movement is endlessly trained, and none of my students is a street brawling thug. We have engineers, college students, paramedics, firefighters, police officers, and countless other professions represented within our gym. No one should disrespect them or the stage that they stand on. Now, again, this gets to the fact that this event was scheduled to occur at Cascades Park. And he goes on to talk about how some of the residents felt that Cascades Park was not the correct venue for such an event. Talk about that. How did that all come about?
It came on suddenly. So this particular combat night was their 50th show. Now, we just provide athletes to this event. It's a promotion that has...
it's a circuit. They come
all around Florida. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we provide athletes to it. And it was their 50th show. And the promoters, that Josh Shaman and Mitchell Chamale, are from Tallahassee. So this is kind of their home base. So they wanted to do their 50th show here and make it as big as possible.
Right.
So they talked to the right people and got Cascades Park. And they announced it. And it was this big deal. It was going to be really exciting. I actually was scheduled to fight on that card as well. And it was so cool, because what Cascades Park is it's amazing. It's kind of like the Mecca center of that side of town, and
it certainly has been showcased
to
be our jewel now, right?
Absolutely. The jewel of Tallahassee now, and kind of bringing everybody together from all aspects all sides of Tallahassee. And I'm a Tallahassee native myself, so Cascades Park is great, and the fact that they wanted to have combat night there was just amazing, and I was so excited. We were all excited. This is going to kind of also bring us out of the dark, because all the other shows were at the Moon or at Coliseum, which is a nightclub for mainly college kids. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of going to bring us into the light.
More into the mainstream.
In the mainstream, and make it more of a mainstream show.
We're talking with Alyssa Rudlow about MMA, this rather well-known sporting activity, very fast growing around the world. Some of us know Ronda Rousey is an example of that. She's the first UFC women's bantamweight champion. So it's gotten a lot of national and international attention. Tallahassee tried to bring this up and we got shut down, or at least pushed back. We're going to talk further with Alyssa. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Family Magazine is a magazine for real families who care about what's really important. Our children, our homes, our environment, our town, Tallahassee. Recognized nationally as one of the best places to raise a family, Tallahassee is full of great people with great stories to tell. And we tell them, with captivating photos and intriguing articles that will plug you into the places, the activities, the innovations, and the fun that is the new Tallahassee. Tallahassee Family Magazine brings you reliable information on child rearing, schools and neighborhoods, travel and recreation, festivals, and charitable events. All the things that make Tallahassee such a cool place where families can grow. It's all here, and it's all for your family. Tallahassee Family Magazine. Look for it at your local grocery store or newsstand, or subscribe online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Alyssa Rudlow about MMA, this wonderful interest and very interesting sporting activity, and her business, Train, Fight, Win, Tally, Tallahassee. We were talking before the break about all that happened leading up to this scheduled event, Combat 50, which, as you say, was really Combat Night 50 was the title of it, scheduled for Cascades Park, part of this tour of such events. You get right up to the event and what happened?
So a few weeks before the event. Now, they had posters printed for the event. They had all of this done, and everybody was excited. Everybody in the MMA community in Tallahassee and around Tallahassee was really excited. This is going to be a huge show. That the first I heard of protest was an article in the paper by, I think it was a city commissioner, and also the neighbors, that the people that live in Cascades Park, there is an uproar. Is we don't want, that's too violent. They're going to have kids fighting in the streets and all this other silliness that they protested and just just made a mockery of our sport that we don't, we're true athletes. We train hard for this. It's not and kind of made fun of it as well.
In fact, that's something that Sky said in this article. You talked about how seriously you do train and how it was that some of the residents, Cascades Park, he says, thought that Cascades Park was not the correct venue for such an event and that it might draw the wrong element. So then it gets pushed over. Where did you guys end up having the bout?
It actually worked out pretty well because we ended up at the Civic Center, and there's actually another show this weekend, February 20th, at the Civic Center. They're another Combat Night show. But so it worked out fine, actually, but the whole stigma surrounding MMA that pushed us out of Cascades Park was extremely disturbing, I think. And I think for more people in the community, it wasn't even the fact that it was MMA. It was the fact that something was being pushed out of Cascades Park for one reason or another. And I think that disturbed a lot of people. Even though they may not be MMA fans, they were still disturbed by that.
Right. And we've had a similar sort of thing happen with the center of Tallahassee when the developer there wanted to hold concerts over the Christmas holidays. Right? He was told he couldn't do it because of a noise ordinance. And so when we start talking about these communities, like you mentioned, the MMA community. Do you feel like we're being intolerant? Are we being exclusive in our thinking? What was your take on that whole process? I mean, it got pushed away, and you said it upset a lot of people.
It did, and it kind of opened up the door as well, what else are they going to push out of there? I think that's what a lot of people in the community brought up that found it disturbing. They were like, you know, I'm actually not an MMA fan myself, but that's fine. I just won't go to the event. It's a ticketed event. You can't go. You can't watch unless you get a ticket. Well, you know what? I don't like country music. So does that mean we should ban all country music from Cascades Park? No. Yeah. You know, the fact that this doesn't agree with what somebody likes or their preferences doesn't mean it should get pushed out. What else is going to get pushed out of Cascades
Park?
And
did the thrust come from the commissioner involved, or did it come from city officials? Where was this message?
I think it
from?
Was a little bit of everything. I think the fact that the people living around Cascades Park now, not all of them, of course not all of them, but some of them in their neighborhood association got all up in arms about how it's such a violent sport and how the kids will be out there fighting in the streets and mocking it.
So it's inflammatory.
Yes. Yeah. And then also the commissioner
didn't
help.
Let's talk about what it really is. And you have dedicated quite a bit of resource here, you and your husband starting this business, Train Fight Win Tallahassee, and just by virtue of his article here, reading about the variety of people, age-wise, backgrounds, professional backgrounds and such. Tell us about, if I'm involved or want to get involved in MMA would be the better question, how do I get started?
Well, you can come and try your first days free. And a lot of people are pleasantly surprised when they walk in. They expect like a dog fighting ring or something. I don't know. But they walk in and they're like, wow, you guys are so nice. And we're like, yes, we are. We welcome everybody that comes through our doors, and we want them to feel like they are going to get it. They're going to learn. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a workout, and they're going to have fun doing it. Yeah. And if they want to compete, if they want to get in the ring, if they want to do a grappling tournament, we can get them there. But not everybody does that. Yeah. And that's only a small percentage of people. I want to empower women that come in, and I want to instill confidence in people and make them feel better about themselves and have fun too.
Sky talked about that too. Some of the folks that he has seen go from being overweight, out of shape, depressed, drug addicted, whatever, they get into MMA and they got a new life going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have multiple students that have just shown a huge transformation. One guy has lost, I think it's about 100 pounds. Wow. He's competed in mixed martial arts. Wow. And it's multiple people that have said it saved their life. I think Sky is one of them. Hmm. He's just turned his life around with it. And
And here comes Sky and Alyssa bringing us some other rather interesting ideas about how we can manage ourselves and our health in a sporting way, in an athletic way. So I have to be careful, right? If I walk in there and I think I'm just going to start throwing punches, I could hurt myself.
Absolutely.
So you're not going to let me do that?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I did wrestle in high school, and I remember then we were being taught how to be very careful with technique and you can hurt yourself, you can hurt your opponent if you don't know what you're doing. So there's a lot of that kind of training that goes on. Those who are involved professionally, and you have those too who are competing professionally, tell us about that lifestyle. What is it like for an MMA pro?
Well,
and I guess you're among those.
Well, I'm not a pro. So Combat Night is actually an amateur promotion. Mm. So those fighters that fight on that don't get paid.
They don't fight for a purse.
They don't fight for a purse. A lot of it, I'd say about half of them, like for me, it's just something I want to do and something that I feel like... Yeah. It's one of the hardest things I will do, so I want to do it. And other people, it's a lifestyle, and they want to get to the pro level. So Sky is actually a pro fighter. He's had some pro fights, and got to that level. Right. So for the pro,
he won his last bout, didn't he?
He did. Yes,
yeah, I saw that.
It was great. But I think so for the pro, it's different than the amateur, because a lot of our amateurs are just college kids. You know, this is something fun to do while they're in college.
Well, it fits in with this other discussion we've had about emerging sports. Mm-hmm. I think that there is room for a lot of that kind of activity, and I just wonder if we're ready as a community to open our eyes and open our arms and embrace this kind of thing. Do you find other groups around town that are also into MMA? Are your facilities the only ones in town?
We are not the only one in town. Yeah. There's another one, but they are more of a submission wrestling base than us.
What does that mean?
That's kind of like wrestling. Okay. You know, it's wrestling, but with submissions such as chokes or arm bars and things like that.
I see.
So, and they do kind of, there's a couple places in town that do that focus on that. Yeah.
So, okay, folks, I guess what we're learning here is that MMA is not as quirky and odd as it might first appear, and it's not made up of thugs and violent criminals. It's rather normal people who have found in this sport an opportunity to not only do some good for themselves in terms of their own health and fitness, but it's a lot of fun. Folks, thanks for listening in on this wonderful conversation. Alyssa, thank you for being our guest. Alyssa Rudlow with Train, Fight, Win, Tallahassee. MMA facilities here in Tallahassee, part of the growing, emerging sporting environment that is our town. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Folks, stay with me. We've got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits. Yeah. If we're talking about a general medical office visit,
right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back. You are in the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all the good things that this town brings to us every week. So we like to think that it's what Tallahassee is talking about this week. Now, there's a lot being talked about. Of course, we only have, you know, a couple hours here. It's tough. You know, it's like stuffing a sausage. But in that sausage making, we find ourselves in the company of some very cool people doing very cool things in a very cool town that is finding itself. And so today's show, we're underscoring again the innovation that that we find around us coming upon us. And in this hour, we're going to talk with Vincent Hunt about how innovation as a process works, and you know, one of the things that Vincent will tell you is that you can either lead, follow, or get out of the way. It's an old idea and an old expression, but it has modern relevance or contemporary relevance when it comes to how you challenge some of the old way of doing business, let's say, or the old way of educating young people or older people. Look at what TCC is doing with all of the innovation going on. The opening of their Wakulla Environmental Institute, just as one example. How about their Florida Public Safety Institute over there? You realize that these guys, there are law enforcement officers that come from out of the country, like Colombia. They come here to get trained. How about that? How about what the Maglab in and of itself is doing to test materials and create materials? I was talking to one fellow the other day at this ribbon cutting for this local business. And this guy is one of what they call an ambassador with the chamber, Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. And he talked about Maglab and its contribution in ways that are not necessarily celebrated. But one company that manufactures compressors for air conditioning systems. This is a company that is international, but they make their compressors here. Why? Because they worked with Maglab to create material that is used in these compressors. And once they had created the material, through the process that MagLab basically instituted on their behalf, they said, well, why do we need to build a plant anywhere else? Let's just stay right here. And so they did. They figured it's easier to walk across the street and talk with the folks at MagLab that created this stuff than to have to fly people in from somewhere else in the world. What an interesting contribution. How many of you knew that? I didn't. And I read things, you know, and I listen. But that was a little factoid that was brought to our attention. It simply illustrates the fact that we are in the midst of all of this going on. And we are fortunate enough to have events around us like Word of South. We're going to talk with Nathan Archer here in a minute, that bring us in touch with more and more of that creative thought, whether it's in science or literature or music or stage performance. All of this coming together in a way that we are participants in and beneficiaries of. We benefit from all of this creativity, all of this that we are now calling the new Tallahassee, right? Along with that, I should bring to your attention a couple of events that I think you'll find important. Sustainable U Conference is coming up. The Sustainable U Conference 2016, subtitled The Business of Green, Restoring Human and Natural Environments to Build Resilient Communities. Now, this happens March the 22nd and 23rd at the Turnbull Center, the Florida State Conference Center. There, August B. Turnbull III, Florida State Conference Center, March 22nd, 23rd. If you want to learn about how to preserve our natural environment, improve neighborhoods, and gain strategies for long-term cost savings, well, this would be the place for you to go. And that, again, happens coming up here on the 22nd and 23rd, a conference being hosted there by Sustainable Tallahassee, is my understanding, in conjunction with City of Tallahassee. So that's cool. You can register online. And I guess the way you do that, let me see if I can pull that out here for you. There was a registration link somewhere on my little info sheet here. We'll just Google it. Go Google Sustainable U Conference Tallahassee. There you go. How about that? Getting lazy here. But anyway, other events. We have this is it. This is the day. National Old Stuff Day. Did you know about this, Carl? Today is National Old Stuff Day. This doesn't refer to anyone you might know personally. Okay, so just get that look off your face. This is Leon County celebrating National Old Stuff Day with hazardous waste disposal. And as Old Stuff Day proceeds here this Saturday, from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., you can take all your old stuff, household hazardous waste and electronics and all that sort of thing, and you go over to their Public Works Operations Center on Miccosukee Road anytime before 1 o'clock today. It's one of these monthly activities the county is sponsoring in order to help us better take care of our own environment and not just, you know, take a refrigerator and dump it in a landfill somewhere. So their little subtext says, if you can't find new life for old household items, you can recycle them. And this is what this is all about. So, okay, do I need to tell you any more about that? You can bring up to 50 pounds of hazardous waste in addition to any old electronics. If you got an old computer monitor, maybe you finally got that flat screen TV and you want to recycle the broken old set you have. Well, you can do that. Only one large screen television per vehicle will be accepted. Okay, so there you go. There are some limitations. Propane tanks that must weigh less than 40 pounds. And there's a limit on the number of old rubber tires that you can bring. Boy, that makes me very sad because I got a lot of old rubber tires hanging around. I got to get rid of those too. Anyway, so that's going on today between now and about 1 o'clock this afternoon. Let's see here. Oh, you know what? And there was this other thing going on with Village Square I wanted to bring to your attention. This is Village Square's Club of Honest Citizens, in which they're hosting a talk on race relations. This happens on Thursday this coming at 6 p.m. at the Moon. This is a big deal. The title of the event, Created Equal, A Conversation About Race, Founding Ideals, and our hometown. The event invites citizens to participate in a conversation on race and its impact to the community. Again, it's this coming Thursday, 6 p.m. It's at the Moon. You can find out more if you simply go to their website, and that's Village Square, which is going to be thevillagesquare.org. How about that? So there you go. Tallahassee. Oh, wait a minute. No, they have a special link for the registration. Sorry. So it's tallahassee.tothevillagesquare.org. Okay? Did I thoroughly confuse you? tallahassee.tothevillagesquare.org. And that's how you go on to register for this very important event coming up this Thursday. The county administrator, various folks from the county will be there in consideration of this important topic. So there'll be lots of opportunity for discussion, and I think you'll find that very helpful. So here we are, folks. We're heading into the last portion of our show. I've got Nathan Archer standing by to talk with us about Word of South. Vincent Hunt will be with me, all because we love you guys so much. So stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Word of South Festival comes up in the month of April, the 8th, 9th, and 10th of the month, and we are looking at the now second annual celebration of art and music, stage performance going on right here in our town of Tallahassee. It happens over there at Cascades Park on that weekend in April, and as the press release says, come rain or shine, we will see the assembly of artists from around the country, some highly acclaimed, some not so well known, some local. It all comes together with one purpose in mind, and that is to celebrate art and music and theater in a very interactive way, I would say, in a way that brings the local to the national scene and vice versa. We have with us Nathan Archer. He's one of those who will be participating and contributing. Nathan is a full-time graphic designer and illustrator who has also done some other things. I mean, he has quite a bit of work to his credit, including comic books that he has created. And so let's welcome Nathan to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much,
Brian. Good to have you with us. And
nice
thanks
to be
for
here.
Sharing a little bit about this very unusual opportunity with Word of South, the brainchild of Mark Mustian, who served many years as city commissioner, and then as a matter of consequence had been provided this trust fund. It's kind of a lengthy story. I won't wear you out with that now. But in effect, he had this cache of money set aside that was his money, but felt like, well, you know, this really belongs to the city. It came to him by way of a pay increase that the commissioners voted themselves. He was not in favor of it and said, okay, fine, but I'm not going to spend that money. So he set it aside. Many years later, he decides, let's see, what would I do with this money? I think it came to $150,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, decides to create then this Word of South Festival. Wow. So he takes his own money, invests in this enterprise, and people like Nathan Archer get excited and say, hey, I want to be a part of making that happen. Nathan, what is your contribution to this whole thing? I know you were involved last year, and then you've got something going on again this year that involves, let's see, what's it called? Rockin' Reading Arena. Tell us about that.
That's correct. Yeah, this year I'm going to be in the Rockin' Reading Arena making mini comics with the kids. Mm. A big part of Word of South is the interaction with the children, getting the kids excited about music and literature. So I'll be in a tent for part of the day on Saturday, part of the day on Sunday,
neat,
building some mini comics with the kids.
You know, that's one of the aspects of this that a lot of folks, I think, did not get clearly in their minds last year. This is really for the entire family.
Oh,
there's
absolutely
definitely a children's aspect, and not just little kids, but really all ages, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, the Rockin' Reading Arena is specifically for middle-aged students, so middle school-age students. There's a tent for younger kids called the Story Fort, neat, where they do live readings of kids' stories, and neat, they have acts like puppeteer Jan Kaufman was there last year doing some puppetry, which was really cool.
Very cool, yeah.
But yeah, there's seven stages across Cascades Park, so all of them are full with performers and riders.
Yeah. Yeah, and in keeping with that idea of it being a festival, that spirit of festival celebration, mm-hmm, really comes to bear. It's not stuffy by any means.
No, not at all. Yeah, and it takes over the entire Cascades Park. There's the vendor area down by the water fountain at the park, and stages all around. So it really does fill up the park.
And I was looking at some of the lineup for the musical artists, and it really is a great cross-representation, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Stylistically. Yeah. Rita Coolidge is going to be there.
Yep.
I mean, some of us who are, a little older than 50, used to listen to Rita Coolidge singing with people like Joe Cocker, in fact, that was my first double album, I think, was the Mad Dogs and Englishmen. So Rita Coolidge will be there, and then again, people from all across the country. And then some of our own folks, Neil Alday and Pierce Pettis, they're going to be performing. Your work as an artist, now you're an illustrator, graphic designer, but the whole thing with comic books, tell us how you got going with that.
Well, sure thing. Back in 2009, I started a comic called Lydia Feeds the Pigeons, and that is Tallahassee's comic anthology.
I like that.
So yeah, I just brought together a group of my friends who were into creating comics. We all did about a 4 to 8 page long story. We tied them up together in this anthology book, and we've been publishing it ever since.
Okay, and so the Rockin', what I need to make sure I say this correctly now, Rockin' Reading Arena, that is an opportunity for kids to learn and actually do their own comic book?
Absolutely,
that's right? Okay.
Yeah, we make little tiny mini comics that are about 6 pages long.
How cool.
And I walk them through the story creation process and the 5 parts of plot, introduction and rising action, climax, all those good things.
So what does this whole festival thing represent to you for Tallahassee? I mean, how do you see it in line with everything else that's happening in town? There's a lot of innovation going on.
There is. And I think it's great. This is a huge representation for the arts community here in Tallahassee to showcase what we do and show that, we're on the same playing field with all the bigger cities in the area and across the region. We got some great talent in this city, and I think it's just a wonderful way to...
In fact, this whole show today, folks, is really a celebration in that respect, although it doesn't take much to get me talking about innovation here because it comes up an awful lot. But in this particular broadcast today, we were really focused on some of the new things. And it's curious to me, too, Nathan, here you have this facility. You know, for many, many, many years, people kept waiting and hoping for a performing arts center. Here comes Cascades Park. And now we have a great venue at least for this kind of an event where it's a festival and it's open to everybody. Is there a price of admission for this?
No, it is completely free. Mm-hmm. There are two ticketed events that happen in the evening on Friday night and Saturday night. But aside from that, from 10 to 6 on Saturday, everything's free. From 12:30 to 6:30 on Sunday, everything's free.
How did you personally get involved? Did you know about it coming, or did you find out once it was kind of on the map and you said, hey, I want to be a part of that?
Yeah, early in the process, I got an email from Claire Hecox, who was one of the event organizers last year. And somehow through our mutual connections, she found out I did comics. She thought that would be a wonderful addition to the kids' area. And I was all behind it. If last year is any indication, families are going to have a wonderful time.
Look,
they had
that.
Such a great time last year.
It's called Word of South, a festival of art and music going on in April. We'll be talking over the weeks ahead with people like Nathan. He'll keep us up to date on some of the further developments. It happens April 8th, 9th, and 10th, that weekend, Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday. Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on Up Ahead. Thanks, Nathan, for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate it.
I take care of the whole person, interweaved throughout our office visits, if we're talking about a general medical office visit.
Right.
I'm counseling patients on how to structure their life.
Dr. Mignon talking about helping you maintain your health.
If you're overdoing things and patients walk in and say, oh my gosh, I feel so stressed out, or even young people, a 16-year-old could feel stressed out. And what does that really mean? I mean, people throw that term around, but I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't have any time for myself. I'm not sleeping well. I'm exhausted when I wake up in the morning. Well, what are we going to do? So to help people adjust their mind or their thinking or their perception and their plan to change that.
Your family, your health, your doctor. Dr. Mignon with Health and Wellness Centers of North Florida. Call or click 850-656-2006 or TallahasseeHealthandWellness.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We've been anticipating the arrival of my very dear friend and a friend to so many. And I would be, I think, fair in saying that he's the friend of Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Vincent Hunt here. He is the massive corporation founder and CEO.
Yes, sir.
Which means the chief entrepreneur of this here organization. No.
Yes.
Chief executive officer who finds himself plugged into so many different realities and places and people. It's so good to see. It's been a while, my friend. How are you?
It's been a while, but it's been good.
You have been traveling and down the road, both literally and figuratively, because you've got so many things going on. We're going to talk about Creators Camp.
Yes, absolutely.
If we can squeeze that in, because we got so much.
Yep.
How are you doing personally? What's happening with you?
Doing good. A lot of over the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of transition. You know, everything that, because I can remember talking to you like 3 years ago.
Unbelievable.
Right? We was on the mic. And we kind of we foretold the story of, you know, this transformation that Tallahassee was going to go through.
Yeah.
And now here we are, you know, years later, and now we're in the midst of it all, right?
Yeah.
We're all in the throes of this transformation, and it's exciting.
It is exciting.
You got FSU, $100 million grant for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
We didn't see that coming, but it hit us,
bingo.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's all these different things kind of coming together that we kind of, again, we foretold, but now they're here. So now we got to deal with
it. It is remarkable.
Yep.
And it seems to me, Vince, that you have come to Tallahassee, and I've said this before, at a time such as this when, you know, maybe 25 years ago, not so much. Maybe we weren't ready to hear you.
Right.
Of course, at 25 years ago, you were what, 15, but or less.
Yeah.
But the point is that with that arrival, you came to Tallahassee for other reasons. You had some ideas. You and Jim Hunt had talked at length about things like menulus and all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
But to me, your participation and your personal contribution is an illustration of, an example of that transition and that willingness to invest and stick.
Yep.
And it hasn't all been nicely, neatly laid out.
No, not at all.
It's sausage making of the ultimate kind. I mean,
exactly. But that's innovation, right?
It is, isn't it?
Innovation is chaos. Hmm. I think a lot of people think that innovation is this pretty laid out road of strategy, and it's not. It's absolutely the opposite. Innovation is messy. It's chaotic. It's uncertain. It's vicious. It's all these things. Like innovation in itself is a force all into itself. And I think that sometimes we just kind of we forget about that idea. Huh. And as human beings, right, charged with this idea of creating and innovating, like getting stuck in the throes of this thing, it's almost like saying, here comes a tornado, but I'm going to put my arms around it and control it so it spins a certain way.
Yeah.
Good luck with that one.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Whenever there's change that's about to happen, we're participants in the change, but the change is going to happen with or without us. In time, our role in that change is a decided role that we take on.
It's remarkable to think how oftentimes in my life I have tried to own or control someone else's creativity or even my own.
Yeah.
And try to package that and then, you
good
know,
luck, right?
Market that and, you know, and I'm going to make more money.
Right.
Well, you know what? I like what you just said. Innovation is that misty sort of vapor at the same time that it's this awesome magnetic force,
mm-hmm.
but you get in the way of that by trying to own it, control it, manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
It can vanish on you.
Mm-hmm.
You stalemate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that you can do is recognize when innovation is about to happen, right? And then use your skills, use everything that you've learned in time, your creativity, to become part of the innovation.
Yeah.
Think about taxi cabs, right? So you got guys just sitting around, guys and gals sitting around, they're taxi cab drivers, but all of a sudden Uber comes. That's pretty vicious, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden flipping upside down what we even know as a taxi cab service. And that's at one scale, one level.
Yeah.
But like when we think about something that I'm deeply passionate about, which is education, people always ask this question, Vince, do you really think education is going to change? Absolutely. Like, if you sense it coming, it's coming. The question is, how is that going to happen? And each individual taking their participation or their role in that innovation. So as it pertains to education, right?
Yep.
Here's an idea. What if it's not the policymakers? What if it's the parents?
Huh.
Right? What if it's not the school board? What if it's an uprising of the teacher / artist? Right? That's the kind of stuff that I think about, you know? So innovation is messy. It's very messy. And you just have to understand what your strengths are, what your skill sets are, and how they apply to the wave of innovation that's coming.
See, and I've watched you do that within your own life.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the things that you put your hand to years ago, I mean, you did, and mm-hmm. you moved on.
Yeah.
And this business of Massive Corporation
yes.
then came about.
Yep.
Tell us about Massive. Just in what,
yeah,
how,
Massive
how do you
Corporation,
best describe it?
I best describe it as, you know, the embodiment of creativity and innovation, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like when I created Massive Corporation, I didn't even have a mission statement or a defined mission for it, right, or a vision for it. What I did have for it was a space that I was willing mm-hmm. to let go enough where the community could decide what Massive Corporation would be. Let the community's moaning and groaning determine the service that it would provide.
Mm-hmm.
So what Massive ultimately became, right, is a design and innovation company focused primarily on reinventing or reestablishing what it looks like to prepare emerging creators and innovators
right.
for the future.
Right.
So I'm talking to K-12. That's where Creators Camp comes in.
Okay.
So Massive Corporation becomes the house where Creators Camp lives, and there will be other initiatives like Kaleidoscope will come out this year. There's some other things that I'm going to release. But it's all geared toward and designed to reimagine what it means to prepare emerging creators and innovators for the future.
I've heard you say that you transitioned from being the curative practitioner
yeah.
into the preventive.
Yeah.
So since instead of trying to heal the sick people,
mm-hmm.
we're down here trying to prevent the illness.
At its root.
At its root.
Yes.
And doing that within the concerns and the opportunities
mm-hmm.
of an educational model
mm-hmm.
that is quite different than what we very grew different. It's different than what I grew up with, I think, for most of us.
Very different. You know, and you're right. Like, for, because I've been in this, what now, a little over two decades?
Really?
In the space of creativity and innovation. And when you find that you're talking to corporate leaders, you're talking to companies, how do we innovate? How do we create? How do we grow? Yeah. Right? You run into these stumbling blocks where the very people that hired you to come in and consult with them, that's where the problem rests. It's not so much the company, it's the individuals not understanding their full creative capacity. So now you find yourself talking to individuals, trying to break them out of conformity, try to break them out of being stuck and not understanding their own creative intelligence. And so my question started to become, what if I were to catch them when they're 10? Would I still be having a conversation with them at 50?
Yeah.
Probably not. So that's where the corrective versus preventive medicine methodology come into play.
Gotcha.
And I never, ever imagined, I'm going to be honest with you, I never imagined that my work would become all about kids, right? Kids. I'm not talking to corporates no more. I'm not talking to them. I'm going to talk to the kids that will ultimately become the corporations.
Amen.
I think that's a little bit more focused.
And probably a little less frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Because that's where kids, the juice is, brother. I mean,
man,
you know, kids are naturally, all of us as kids have this creative tap going on.
Off the chain.
And it gets squished.
In time. Absolutely. And you can only hear that so many times, right? Sir Ken Robinson, he has a talk on TED. And if you just look him up, Google him up, Sir Ken Robinson, he gives a talk that's so compelling to help us understand how we squander one of our greatest resources, which is the creativity in young people. In time, we try to conform them. Huh. To an industrialized system that's not even industrial anymore. We're in the post-industrial, yeah. Right? So as we're killing creativity, which now is a chief value proposition in any company that you go to, they're all saying we need to create, we need to innovate.
Yeah.
We need to really think about what we're doing as a whole, as a society, as it pertains to creativity in young people and killing their creative confidence.
With that, I want to take this quick break. We've got Vincent Hunt helping us find our way through this massive collection of thought about innovation, education, what we're doing with kids, what he's doing with something he calls Creators Camp. We're going to dig in on that when we get back. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Vincent Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Creators Camp.
Yes,
get me started there. What is Creators Camp?
Well, with any company, you have to think about your product, you know, your services. And so when massive corporation decided, right, to become deeply focused on preparing, you know, emerging creators and innovators for the future and designing ways to do that better, our very first initiative, our very first product has become Creators Camp, which has actually been in play now for right now about 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. But it's been kind of in the very first year, of course, it was in a prototype state, you know, just like any other product development. At MasterCourse, we're not teachers, we're not educators, which gives us a really, really unique slant and approach to our work. So we really want to just completely redefine, like, what does it look like when you're building skills and helping young people acquire skills and explore and discover, you know, things and fail? And really, how do you build their creative confidence in the midst of all of that? So Creators Camp is a place, and we say it most succinctly when we say it's where America's young emerging creators and innovators go to prepare for the future.
And when a parent looks at Creators Camp and says, why would I want my kid involved in this?
Yeah.
How do you answer them?
Wow. You know, that could vary, because unlike, and this isn't me stabbing at the education system. I love education. Right? I think education is powerful.
Oh, come on. Let's stab at them a little
bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I just don't think we're doing a good enough job at preparing kids for the future. right? Why? We're still developing.
What are we not doing right?
We're still developing, quote unquote, the workforce. When in reality, we're going into the skills force. So when you have a kid who has interests, multiple disciplines, right? They may love to code and work on computers, but they also love plants, but they also like food, right? So how do you take this kid who's highly disruptive in three completely disparate, disciplines? How do you deal with that? Well, the traditional way to deal with that is get them to focus on one thing, do that one thing, and just drive them down that path, right?
And if you can't sit still, it's just medicating.
You got a situation.
So that he can.
You got a situation.
Stay
you got
to
go to the doctor.
Yeah
you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So at Creators Camp, we want to create a space where that young person can actually explore all their skills and understand how they actually knit together in the marketplace. So we're preparing kids for the future.
Yeah.
So for a parent who's concerned with, will my kid be competitive in the global marketplace?
Mm.
We try to answer that question for them, helping them understand how they fit into the bigger scheme of things.
Simon Anderson spoke with us, maybe a year or so ago, and I remember him saying then, for those of you who don't know, Simon Anderson is a futurist.
Yeah.
He says, we need to think in terms of creating and training and giving opportunity for jobs that don't even exist yet.
Absolutely. Uncertainty.
Yeah. And what your theme has been, if I'm not mistaken, you really believe that the young people,
mm-hmm.
the kids
yeah.
of this generation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're at the right place at the right time. We just don't realize it as well as we ought to, perhaps.
It's always been that way.
Yeah.
It's always been that way. If you think about, if you break time down into four, and I kind of explain it to, to parents this way. Yeah. If you break time down in four simple pillars, you have the Renaissance, you have the agricultural era, then you have industrial, and then you have where we are now, which is post-industrial. What happens after the machines?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you think about each one of those times, if you think about the Renaissance, you had the Picassos and the Shakespeares and all those guys.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you when they were little kids, imagine Shakespeare as a little kid. How do you think he was talking, right? A little odd, didn't make a... So imagine being his English teacher. But what happens is as he grew into his time, he became one of the greatest literary innovators that we know.
Yeah.
Shakespeare and Picasso. He was weird, but he was awesome in his time.
Yeah.
If you think about agriculture... There were agricultural innovators who they didn't start off just pop out the womb doing what they were doing.
Yep.
20 years before their great apex moments,
they
were born and they came into their time. Same with industrialism, the Fords, all the industrialists.
Yep.
But here we are in the post-industrial. Why do we think that 20, 30 years ago, a generation of kids were being born that were actually suited for this time?
Yep.
Now, look 20 years into the future. Kids are being born right now for a time that we know not of. And so when they come out a little weird, it's because they were born for a time that we know not of. We need to embrace that uncertainty, not be afraid of that uncertainty. And instead of asking them, what do you want to become? Take a hard, close look at them and say, what are you? And let's study that.
Listening to you, I've heard you talk, too, about some great stories coming up out of the Creators Camp experience.
Yes.
Individuals that have...
Absolutely.
I mean, one young fellow you were telling me was just in tears because you asked a few simple questions.
Yeah.
Give us just a snippet of how that went down.
Yeah. For the sake of confidentiality, we'll just call him Kid X.
Yeah.
Right? So Kid X comes in super, super smart. His parents, highly educated. They were having a hard time really trying to figure out what was he going to be when he grew up.
Right.
Right? I really believe that people are born with the seeds of what they're going to be when they grow up already. Our question, we should be trying to figure out what those seeds are and water
them. And help them make that discovery.
Right, and water it. Because as adults, I believe kids are born with a perfect operating system. It comes fearless. It comes courageous. It wants to learn all this stuff. The only piece of software that a kid doesn't have is context software. That's you and I, adults. We've been in the world long enough that if we see a kid playing in the dirt, that might be botany. We know that a kid that loves Legos might be an architect or an engineer. That's us. We're context software. They don't know. If you ask them, they're just playing. That's the only word they know, play, right? And I think more and more people who start to really, we're living in a time where you can actually authentically be yourself. Because, again, we're living in the post-industrial era, whether people want to believe that or not. It's no longer about standardization or let me just be the cog in the wheel or let me just follow the rules. That's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
It's not, it used to be, but it's not now. Now you have to have a firm understanding of who you are because you're in a time of innovation, right? Remember, it's chaotic.
Yeah.
Know your place and make your contributions. Be happy at the end of the day.
Vincent Hunt, folks, I mean, I'm sitting here breathing heavily trying to keep up with this guy. Good luck with that because he's moving at the speed of light. But gratefully, he's come down to earth with me here for just a little bit of time. And it's never often enough in my mind that we get to have these conversations.
Absolutely.
And the greatest thrill for me is just to see you doing well.
Oh, yeah.
And to see the mission being carried forward in this way. With that, I'll say Creators Camp is one thing.
Yep.
Folks, you better stay in tune because there's a whole lot more coming.
There is.
Because that's kind of how water is, doesn't it? It just keeps on flowing.
Absolutely.
And there's a fountain here, I think, that God has placed in our midst and even within us.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it flow, brother.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Folks, this is what we do. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all that Tallahassee is talking about this week. And in the words of Vincent Hunt, I want you to go out there today and begin innovating. Think about the way in which that innovation, that little idea you've had, might be a part of something new for you too. Maybe it's something you want to share with your friends or your family. Maybe it's something you want to keep to yourself. Whatever it is. I think I can say on behalf of Vincent Hunt and all the folks at Creators Camp, go do it.
Go do
Get
it.
Get started.
That's it.
All right. Folks, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny will be here again next Saturday morning. We look forward to having you back with us. We are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I want you to come back here next Saturday and learn more about what Tallahassee is talking about this week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Tallahassee Family Magazine is a magazine for real families who care about what's really important. Our children, our homes, our environment, our town, Tallahassee. Recognized nationally as one of the best places to raise a family, Tallahassee is full of great people with great stories to tell. And we tell them, with captivating photos and intriguing articles that will plug you into the places, the activities, the innovations, and the fun that is the new Tallahassee. Tallahassee Family Magazine brings you reliable information on child rearing, schools and neighborhoods, travel and recreation, festivals, and charitable events. All the things that make Tallahassee such a cool place where families can grow. It's all here, and it's all for your family. Tallahassee Family Magazine. Look for it at your local grocery store or newsstand, or subscribe online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.